Hey everybody, welcome back to Dental Unfiltered. This is a really exciting show for me and Andrew both. Today, me and Andrew have Dr. David Galler on the call. I think if you think about clear aligners in dentistry, there's no more famous name than Galler, to the point where, you know, no offense to David, everyone in dental says that the best cult in dental is the AACA and being a Gallerite. And I spent time with them in Vegas, and everyone embraces the label Gallerite. And honestly, a really beneficial organization I got to spend some time with, and I really enjoy. This is a really important podcast for me too. 4 years ago, I created a goal that I wanted to present at the winter AACA board meeting, and finally got to this past year, and finally got to develop a relationship with David. And if he's been a personality I've been trying to get close to now for 4 years, and finally got a chance to spend time with him. Super smart guy. And of course, Andrew's on the call, my co-host, like normal. So where I really want to start this out is Andrew's a AACA member. He's a diamond provider. Andrew really believes in clear aligners. He's like a baby clear aligner practice inside of his own practice. And that's kind of a profit center for him. And, David, what I want to start with is, you know, you have this organization, the AACA. It's probably the most beneficial organization if you want to do clear aligners in your practice. You know, from you, like, tell us about the AACA, what matters, what makes it different than a lot of these organizations vying for all these docs' money. There's so many organizations out there trying to get money for you to join it. I think AACA is just, 10 times more value or more than what the cost is. I think it's a really great situation. But tell me in your own words, you know, what your motivation is and why a doc should do it and, you know, what you really believe in.
All right. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Andrew, for having me on. So the American Academy of Clear Aligners is an educational platform designed to help general dentists bring clear aligners into their practice, specifically with Invisalign, into their practice and really growing it. Because what I noticed is that of all the, you know, different procedures that one does in dentistry, Invisalign is kind of that little bit of like that middle child that like everybody's doing it. Like every, you know, because the patients are asking for it by name and the rep brought pizza. So you feel kind of like obligated and, you know, it doesn't take much to get a case started. And they're like throwing $5,000 into your face. So you start all these cases because it's real easy. All you do is take a picture, take a scan, and you start the case and somebody just threw $5,000 at you. But then when you go back and you're like, hey, do you know the names of all the attachments? Do you know the four claws as opposed to your open bite? Do you know which teeth move and which one? Everyone's like, like a little bit. Like the best kept secret in dentistry is everybody's doing Invisalign. Nobody knows what they're doing. So that has been going on for two decades. It's kind of like a weird part of dentistry. Like Andrew would never do a sinus lift unless he had like watched 10, practiced with somebody watching over him five times, read a book on it, took 20 hours of CE, had all the instruments memorized. But with like Invisalign, everyone's like, let's start here. So, you know, you get all these docs in the game and they just turn around and they're like, I don't like doing things I don't understand. So the AACA comes in and we're like, we are the educational hub, runs parallel to Invisalign and clear aligners. And if you're in this game, we will keep you updated / tell you what's going on / make sure you're on knowing everything, resources to help you if you get in a jam, educational content, literally every 48, 72 hours banging out. Yeah, it's like $500. I'm not, you know, it's not thousands and thousands of dollars paying per video or something. Join once and boom, we just bang you with content and it's created huge practices across the country.
What really struck me about it is there's lots of dental organizations, the level of camaraderie I experienced at the winter board meeting and the level of connection and the level of like mutual peer support where everyone is really there with the pure benefit of helping each other grow beyond wherever they are now was really striking to me. Because in dental, traditionally, there tends to be a little bit of a competitive rivalry and some kind of like digging at people. But at the AACA, it was like everyone was being lifted up. And Andrew, you know, you as an AACA member, what has your experience been like with the level of support and the benefit you've gotten? Because I know you're now a diamond provider this past year. We just celebrated that. And, you know, how much of a positive impact has the AACA made in you as the actual dentist receiving the membership on the ground?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know how Dr. Galler keeps up with everything he's doing with the AACA. Like there's these WhatsApp chats that are going on and there's like hundreds and hundreds of messages that are happening. And I'm like every couple of days trying to look through and see all this content that's going on in there. And he always seems to find time to reply to people when they have questions. So that's, I mean, that's been very cool. I mean, there is support, you know, if you're taking on a case that you don't really fully understand, there are people out there to support you and try to help you, especially if you get stuck, if you get lost. I mean, I agree. I think it's nice to have an organization that is really trying to help build each other up, because unfortunately in dentistry, a lot of dentists, for whatever reason, just don't want to help other dentists. So I think that's been some very positive changes over the most recent years. Organizations like the AACA, like Paul Goodman's Dental Nachos Group, things like that, where dentists are really just trying to help each other out. So
David and Andrew, so I'm a new dentist and I'm going to be getting into Invisalign. I want to develop in my practice. What is the mindset, both from a business point of view and the mindset from a clinical point of view, of how do I approach this? What resources should I seek? And what words of advice would you two give, you know, to open up and try to, like, if it was your friend of yours and they called you and said, hey, I want to get in clear aligners, David, what talk do you give them to get them ready?
Yeah, I mean, the first step really in the journey is to take the Re-Engage course. The Re-Engage course is step one for everybody. You know, you have your certification from school or you picked it up one weekend 5 years ago. But when you're ready to get serious about using clear aligners to straighten teeth, you know, my 2-day, 15-hour live hands-on course is kind of where everybody starts their journey. You know, you come there, you learn the details of how this plan. Nothing I teach is complicated. There's no, like, you know, calculus type level theories and stuff, but you do have to hear it once. You have to hear all the concepts. The clear aligners itself is non-intuitive. But once you hear all the concepts, that's step one. You get it, you understand the game. And then from there, you get yourself an iTero. And then step three, you just start scanning everybody who comes through the office. Everybody. Everybody who comes in, every exam, every new patient, everything. And if your staff don't want to do it, find new staff. You know, I don't do excuses with staff and teams. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough rooms. We don't have enough electricity. Bust through. I'm selling the gravy train of gravy trains here. And it is wide, wide open. You know, but Re-Engage step one, iTero step two, scan everybody step three, and then it's off and running.
Yeah, the scan everyone philosophy I believe in too. I had a doc, and Angel, I had a doc in Virginia who had a family in his chair, and everyone had Invisalign, and he did Invisalign, and it came from the ortho guy down the street. And my first question was, how often do you talk to every single patient about Invisalign? And he's like, well, when they ask for it, I'm like, what's your failure? Like, I agree that the scan everyone, present it to everyone, is the way to do it. And you just naturally, if you're doing 5 Invisalign cases a month now, you want to get to 15, just start talking to everyone about it and scan everyone. You'll find the cases. They're there. Andrew, you know, same question to you. You know, your friend calls you and like, hey, man, I know you're a diamond provider. You did 24 months. You get these kind of phone calls or text messages literally all the time.
I actually do. I have dentists reach out to me all the time asking, you know, how can I grow my practice? How can I get more patients? How can I do more Invisalign, things like that? And I have the same first answer as Dr. Galler. So I took his Re-Engage course. And before I had, you know, I had gotten my Invisalign certification in school. I really wasn't doing any cases when I first got out because I was in public health. But then I got into private practice and I did some of the like quick online CE courses. And that was enough to have me start a few cases here and there. But I really did want to make Invisalign a big part of my practice. And I didn't feel like I was fully equipped to handle all the cases that I wanted to do. I had taken his course on a recommendation. And I mean, it's a 1-weekend course where you go in like as a newbie, as a beginner with Invisalign, and you come out feeling confident that you can take on just about any course that's out there or any treatment that's out there. And the reason why it works so well is because Dr. Galler, as I like to say, he kind of like dummy proofs it for you. He tries to make sure that you are planning the most predictable movements. So you're going to have less chance of complications during the case. You're going to have less chance of refinement at the end of the treatment. And at this point in time, we are doing hundreds and hundreds of Invisalign cases every year. And I'm very rarely running into any issues where I have to come back and try to solve the problem. And it's because I really apply the principles that I learned in that Re-Engage course. So that's number one, guys. You know, that is my gold standard for Invisalign courses. And again, you guys know I don't promote anything that I didn't do that didn't work for me. But that was huge. I mean, that took me from doing a little bit of Invisalign here and there to now I'm platinum plus status. Now I'm diamond status. And you know, we're heading, trying to hit diamond plus, wow, you know, the 6 months. And I think we've got a good shot at hitting it. So
a doc is, he takes the weekend course, and then time goes by. He has an ITERA or whatever. Now he wants to get serious. He takes the re-engage course, and the re-engage course really gives him the confidence in a simple way to build up his clinical confidence to start approaching these cases effectively. And so after that, so now we've taken that course, now it's time. Now we want to really start to get on the train to it. What is the advice you guys give on, like, you know, now that you're doing it, you're scanning everybody, how do you start to manage it and make it happen and grow it and start to really make it something that is enjoyable for you and that you're really effective at and you're changing lives through?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, like, dentists, what they have to get over is, you know, there's a mental hurdle to get over for dentists. And that is, listen, it's a $5,000 price tag or $4,000, whatever it is. And people, well, let's take it back. Dentists have a major issue, and that is that dentists are so scared of being called money hungry, you know, pushy, salesy. Now, I've spent a lot of time in my career trying to understand this. Like, you don't have a podiatrist who's very worried about, you know, recommending one of those shoe thingamajigs, those inserts. Like, they don't care. Like, they're like, dude, you need the insert. They don't worry about it. But dentists are super, super scared, nervous. Worst thing you could tell a dentist is, I'd be like Andrew and I could have an argument. I'd be like, hey, Andrew, I heard you charge a lot. He'd be like, yeah, whatever, screw you. I'd be like, hey, Andrew, I heard all your fillings are sensitive. He's like, yeah, whatever. I go, hey, Andrew, I hear you're very salesy. He'll be like, I'll cut you. Like, that's the worst, thing you can tell a dentist.
In dental, I teach so much sales stuff in dental, and dentists are like, I don't want to be a salesman.
I'm
like, you picked the wrong profession, bro.
See, I might take that as a compliment, but I'm also not your average dentist. Yeah, so, it's weird. I actually, when I interview associates to join our group, that's one of the things I ask them. I say, how comfortable are you with the idea of selling dentistry? Because I know it's a taboo word out there. And there are a lot of dentists that don't feel comfortable doing that. But guys, at the end of the day, we're not selling alcohol and cigarettes. You know, we are selling better oral health for patients. It's still our job to portray the value of that. And part of that is a sales process. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I don't think it should be taboo.
But
like,
do you
it
know
is.
Why? It's interesting. It's interesting to think about why. Like, where does that come from? Why do all dentists fear that like the devil? You know, like, right? It's a thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Dentists are worried about being called salesy. Where does that come from? Why is everybody so afraid to be stereotyped as like, it really comes from Hollywood. Hollywood did this. In the 1950s, Hollywood decided that they needed an idiot in movies. They needed like a jerky guy who was like pervy a little bit, you know, a little bit salesy, someone who's like a gross person. And they made him a dentist. And the first movie they did it with was Little Shop of Horrors. And then you had then you had the guy with the torture guy. I forgot what that movie's called. Dentist who was torturing people. And then you had Corbin Burnson in The Dentist. And then you go through it and there's clips. There's Whoopi Goldberg in flashback. Then you have Lethal Weapon. There's a dentist who's crazy. Modern Times, you got The Hangover. Ed Helms is the idiot dentist. Jennifer Aniston and Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Bosses, yep.
Oh my gosh. This is so crazy. Are you the only person that picked up on this in the world? No
Hollywood
one else
has
said,
it could have been anybody, right? It could have been like an ophthalmologist, could have been a podiatrist.
Yeah, it could have been.
Could have been a pathologist, but Hollywood decided dentist is skeevy, dentist is money hungry, dentist is salesy, dates a blonde, drives a Porsche, owns three houses.
Oh, there's a stereotype.
But Hollywood invented that.
There's a stereotype.
Hollywood. Do you know 50% of dentists nowadays aren't even like male? There are more female dentists graduating. They're not even your typical Caucasian white American. Most of the dental school classes now are a mix of nationalities, you know, from all over. You look at it, a re-engage course, no two people look the same. It's not a room of 50 white people who all drive Porsches and drape blondes, but that's the stereotype. And because of that stereotype, it's so in our head. We don't want to be that stereotype. I don't want to be that stereotype. So Andrew, We're interested in, are you interested in Invisalign? Everybody ever talk? No? All right, cool. Yeah. No. I'm so scared to tell Andrew, you got crooked teeth. I got the solution to fix it. Better health, better looks. But I don't want to say it. It's $5,000. If I do it, he's going to think I'm pushing, I'm salesy. I'm going to be that stereotype. And there you have.
Dentists are scared to tell a patient they have a cavity.
Top providers and not top providers.
Oh, dentists are scared to talk about anything that involves financials with the patient. Money is scary.
They say let's watch this tooth. You know what? I don't want to tell you bad news. I don't want to tell you that, you know, you've got to pay me money to fix your tooth. So let's watch this tooth. And at the end of the day, they're not even doing the patient any favors, because what's going to happen? The problem's going to get worse. But in their mind, you know, they're saying like, okay, the patient's not going to view me as a salesy person now. I'm going to tell them I'm going to be as conservative as possible. We're just going to keep an eye on it. Patient disappears for 2 years. They come back later. All of a sudden, now they need a root canal and crown instead of the filling. So like that is, it's an internal problem, I think, throughout dentistry, but I think it's exemplified or amplified in clear aligners because, you know, it's such a high price tag and most patients don't really feel like they really need it. So they view it as like a cosmetic thing. And that's the other problem is like if you're talking to your patients about Invisalign purely as cosmetics, that's the other half of the problem is that you need to explain what the problems is. I don't even mention the word clear aligners or Invisalign until I've already discussed what the concerns I'm seeing with the misalignment. You know, I'm talking about the deep bite. I'm talking about the wear. I'm talking about the crowding. I'm talking about, you know, the gum inflammation, everything else that's going on. And then I say, here's how we could fix it. You know, if you start with like, oh, do you want Invisalign? Oh, do you want to straighten your teeth? You're going to get a lot of no's. Whereas if you actually show them what the problem is and then talk about a solution, it makes it a lot easier too.
Yeah, and part of it too is I feel like the dentist, it's almost selfish and disservice to the patient. And they're also confusing, I think, being salesy and having good patient communication in chairside manner. They kind of clump them together. Like I should come in and just do dentistry. And it's like, no. Being salesy is also servicing the patient, having good chairside manner, good patient communication. All that comes together. It's all patient experience. And when they look at it, it's like, I'm an introvert. I don't want to do that. Well, you shouldn't be a dentist then because this person is a heightened fear state. They're in front of you. You have to transfer emotion to them to trust you. And if you can't do that, you're not servicing the patient to the highest level, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, if you believe that straight teeth are inherently healthier, then you should not be denying your patients that just because you're so worried about what they might say to you. It's not, if you want to summarize the difference between the good dentists, the high volume dentists now, and these dentists who are doing, you know, 4 or 5 cases a year, one phrase, it's not shady to tell people with crooked teeth they need Invisalign. They might do it, they might not do it, but it's not shady to tell them that. Shady is telling people with full upper lower dentures that they need Invisalign. That's shady, okay? but if the people have teeth and they're not straight, tell them why are you holding back? How could they possibly get mad at you? They'd be like, ooh, push. You have crooked teeth. You have a crossbite. I'm just saying I have a solution. Do it, don't do it, whatever you want. But it's not shady. But that conversation's, man, look, Andrew came to the course. He's a regular guy. Boom. You know, 2 minutes, he's a diamond. It's unbelievable. Anybody can dominate this game. If you have an iTero, you scan everybody, you learn some principles, you set up your cases correctly to high percentage movements, anybody can blow this practice up.
So we've talked about iTeros before, and we had an episode where I basically said, guys, you know, I'm not big on name brand products. I'm not big on spending money for no reason, but I do believe in spending money on something that's going to turn a positive ROI for your practice. And I do believe that the iTero scanner has made a huge difference in how much Invisalign we're doing. As someone so involved, you know, with the AACA, like, do you know of many docs that are doing high volume, you know, clear aligner cases that don't have a scanner like an iTero? Like, do you know docs that are just, yeah, that was
scanner,
our thought
not
too,
just, but you can't, even the CEREC, the Omnicam, the Trios, great, cute. But if you don't have the iTero, if you're not communicating with Invisalign via 5 second wand flick, and now with the Lumino 2 minutes, forget it. You're not even in the game. I can't even talk to people who don't have a scanner.
So crazy, Dr. Geller. So when you interview with my company, right, and you want to do clear aligner marketing, our first question is, are you doing impressions or do you have an iTero scanner? And if they don't have an iTero scanner, we won't market
clear aligners. Yeah, for sure not.
But we won't. And they're like, well, we'll do impressions. It's okay. I'm like, listen, all the data shows that if you have an iTero scanner, case acceptance is significantly higher from seeing the simulation and everything. It is the best standard of care. So if you're not willing to get an iTero scanner, we can't give you clear aligner traffic.
Yeah.
And some docs that don't want to spend the money on it get really upset about it. Like, well, I want to grow my business there, then I'll buy an iTero. No, you buy an iTero as the tool to grow your business. It's the foundation you need.
Most dentists picture like $1 million of profit raining down on their head. And then once they have $1 million, then I'll buy an iTero.
I buy everything.
Then I'll hire a hygienist. Then I'll use Lassie. Then I'll buy this. Then I'll buy that. Once the $1 million rains down on me, then I'll spend money. And I'm like, dude, you got to make money to spend money, man. You got to spend money to make money, not the other way around. You want to start 100 Invisalign cases? Get an iTero. Start scanning everyone. Build an iTero scanning room. Hire an assistant to just go. I said to a doc last week, he's like, oh, we can't scan. We don't have enough people. Blah, blah, blah. Da, da, da. I was like, how much does an assistant's salary cost a year? $29,000. I was like, hire somebody for $29,000 and just have them scan everybody in the practice who's breathing. That's it. That's all they do all day. That's it. 5 minutes of scan. They're a shitty scanner. I'm sorry. I'm on a curse on them. 10 minutes of scan.
You're fine. Sorry. I do it all
10 time. Minutes of scan. They scan 20 people a day. You don't think you're going to start 6 Invisalign cases in 12 months? Spend money to make money, man. Come on.
But listen, but they're going to go and say, oh, well, it didn't happen for me. I bought the scanner and I put it in the operatory and it didn't make it happen. Yeah, you have to make it happen. The scanner is a tool. I have so many docs. Oh, I had an iTero scanner. I made that purchase and I just never got that business. No, you didn't follow the process. I just bought a practice in Texas and I believe in having the CBCT and imaging in the front of the building and having a scan room for iTero in the front of the building. And those being the first two stops on the patient journey is the scan and the CBCT scan being done. So you have all their information done before they go to the op. I totally believe exactly what you're saying. Makes so much sense.
I have docs that are coming to me like complaining about the cost of the iTero sleeve. And they're like, yeah, I have an iTero, but we only scan patients if they're interested in Invisalign, because why would I want to waste that $3 on that iTero sleeve? And those are the same docs that so no. It gets even crazier. These are the same docs that are spending $10 to $20 on nice, expensive patient swag to give their new patients, which is cool. I mean, hey, like that's nice that you want to give your patients a gift, and there's a whole principle of reciprocity and all that stuff. But how much ROI do you really think you're getting on that $10 to $20 swag versus how much ROI do you think you'd get on the $3 you spend on that iTero scanner? Not only for Invisalign, we use the iTero scan to educate patients on like fractures on teeth, on failing amalgams. We do a whole tour of their mouth with the iTero before I even lean them back.
It's the greatest patient.
It's crazy. It blows my mind the way that people think sometimes. It's crazy.
It's like you can miniaturize them and put them in their own mouth. Like, what's more impactful than that? It's funny, the same doc that does that is the same doc that bought ADEC chairs and overpaid for chairs. It's the same doc. Like, doc, if you're listening right now and you're like, oh, I can't pay $5 on this, but I bought ADEC chairs, you're thinking on investments a little bit off. So moving on from that, with that all being said, so now they have it, they're starting to do it, they're starting to maintain it, and the culture is happening, and they're growing that edge of their business, right? It's becoming something really important culturally in the practice. Now, as they do that, do you guys both see that patients overall, really your patient population, they feel that they're getting more comprehensive care now in one location because ortho can be handled there now for them? Do you feel that that helps their overall feeling of that they're in the right place in the right practice from the patient point of view?
Yeah, I mean, once you do Invisalign on a patient, like if I did Invisalign on you, Matt, like, and it went well, and now you're in retainers, like, we're married. Like, you never leave in the practice. Like, we're going to go to another dentist. It'd be so weird. It'd be like, I see you in the movies with another dentist. I'd be like, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Like, you'd be like, sorry, I just met him. Like, when you go through the Invisalign journey with your dentist, and it comes out well, and your teeth are straight, and you go off the retainers, man, it's like a partnership. You would have to really do something bad to lose it. You know, everyone always goes 100 new patients a month. Everyone gets 100 new patients a month. Everyone in dentistry has got 100 new patients a month. That's like the new tagline. But you always wonder, like, yes. Hey, how could everybody be getting 100 new patients a month? but it's like this churn, you know. I got 100 new patients a month. Yeah, but I lost 87 of them, you know, because 87 people came for recalls and never came back. So, you know, 100 new patients a month is good, but how many of your patients are still here? That should be you should be like, hey, I retained 200 people this month. Nobody talks about that, but you go through Invisalign, man, practice builder.
Practice builder just transforms that patient population. What about for you, Andrew? Is that your experience?
So we've started to get a lot of patients that come see us specifically for Invisalign because their dentist doesn't offer it. And a lot of times they end up sticking around because here's the thing. I mean, they're coming in for a lot more appointments to see us than they were at their other dentist office. You know, we try to do things differently. We've got our comfort menus, our amenities, our Netflix on the ceiling, things like that. I think patients start to get used to the experience that we provide at our office. And then even if they go for their next recall at their other dentist, it's kind of like, oh man, like, why am I still going here? So I do think that putting patients through Invisalign also helps transition them into the practice, even if that wasn't their, you know, initial intention, like, hey, I'm just here to do Invisalign. The other thing that's really cool is it's brought on a lot more just like full cosmetic cases. You know, you do the Invisalign and you get near the end, the patient's like, they've been seeing your before and afters, you know, on the TV every time they come in and they're getting near the end of their treatment. They're like, hey doc, like I've been thinking maybe about veneers. Like, what do you think about that too? So like it opens the door to more cosmetic treatment on top of just the Invisalign. So it's huge. I mean, like doc, when you started doing Invisalign, you know, I guess a couple decades ago, because you were an early innovator with it. Like, how did that change your practice at that point?
Yeah. I mean, I was in the right place at the right time. You know, I was in a high end Manhattan cosmetic practice that I joined, and my partner's, you know, good 10 years older, 15 years older than me. And like, I needed to find a niche. And, you know, Invisalign had just kind of launched in 2001 to GPs. I was a real young dentist, 2003, and just right place, right time, downtown Manhattan, Wall Street crowd. Everyone's 25 to 45. Sex in the City is the number one show on television. Everyone wants to be Mr. Big. Everybody wants to date Miranda and Charlotte and Samantha. Every single one of my patients wants a beautiful, healthy smile. You can either get someone to drill all your teeth down with veneers, or this young kid down here could put plastic on your teeth for 6 months. Don't drill you, no anything. Give you a beautiful smile and you know, half the price of what six veneers would cost you. And that's how kind of it grew. And then started innovating from there and, you know, became a leader in that. And, you know, that was the game.
I have a question. It's kind of off subject. How did the AACA happen for you? Say, I heard there was originally a different founder, but then like handed it off to you with the research I did about you. So how did like all of a sudden you just become like, when did David Galler go from David Galler, a guy doing clear aligners, to David Galler, the guy most closely associated with clear aligners? Like, when did that switch happen?
I don't know. I mean, the American Academy of Clear Aligners was founded by Dr. Perry Jones, and it was originally called the American Academy of Cosmetic Orthodontics. And he's a guy from Virginia, and it was supposed to be using, the original concept was to use porcelain brackets. Porcelain brackets were starting to get big in the mid-90s. So they cost like three times what a regular bracket would, but it's like a little bit more invisible. So it was called porcelain brackets. And then Nitai wires came out, and Nitai wires were the new kind of wire, and they could make them in white. So the concept was, don't get silver train track brackets, get cosmetic brackets, cosmetic porcelain brackets. Problem was, they had a real short run because, you know, first of all, they were like triple, quadruple expensive what regular brackets were. And right around the time that they just started to get their legs underneath them, boom, Invisalign jumped onto the scene. And they were like, yeah, porcelain brackets are cute, but
no brackets.
No brackets, even cuter. It's more invisible.
How about your teeth look the same? There's nothing on your teeth at all. Like it's
invisible. Yeah. And then, you know, Perry Jones, he's like a dentist, man. He's like the old school. He's still around. He lives in Virginia. He retired. But he always hated the world that I was in, which was drill all your teeth down to a nub to make them look good. He always hated that world. He didn't like that New York, Miami, LA world of we'll veneer everything, we'll drill them all down. He he was more of an elder statesman, and he started to push the agenda of using clear aligners in the late 2000s instead of veneers. Stop doing the veneers. Stop drilling teeth off. And he, you know, we became friends, and you know, I became part of his world, and I obviously was a big part of that philosophy because that's how I made my niche in Manhattan. Was like, you can get veneers, or I can straighten your teeth, no injections, no drilling, no sensitive teeth, they'll never break. And then in 2000, I want to say 14-ish or so, he was like, all right, you take over, you be president, because he was kind of getting older and backing down. And then I think I want to say 2016 or 17, we changed the name from American Academy of Cosmetic Orthodontics to American Academy of Clear Aligners. And then it became the place to go if you want to learn clear aligners. Like, we will be your educational resource to teach you everything and support you minute to minute. You know, you have a question any hour of the day, go on to our message boards on WhatsApp and somebody will answer it.
My uncle's a AACA doc, Wesley Candair, and he has this WhatsApp app, and he literally, like, years ago, I was in his office. He's got a question about this tooth on bootstrapping. I watched him pull his phone out and go to a WhatsApp group and send a picture. And like 20 docs all commented how they would do it. And it was like having this knowledge wealth of like clinically active docs doing this at your fingertips. And I was like, man, that is like,
it's like a little mastermind group that you can.
It really is. It's probably a lot of these mastermind groups in dental are like 50 grand a year and you get a Facebook group and a WhatsApp chat. You know, AACA is $500 a year and you get a WhatsApp chat and support. It's like the best mastermind group.
That's the fucking problem.
I don't know. I don't know. I spent a little bit of time around you in Vegas. I would not say you're terrible by any means.
$50,000. Are you still practicing $500? And half that's the 90% just goes to the academy costs. Doing something wrong here. Whatever. If I wanted to make money, I'd still be practicing 5 days a week.
How often do you practice?
I'm down to about clinically seeing patients about a day and a half a week now. Like physically talking to patients in an office. About a day.
Are you just doing Invisalign or are you doing other stuff too?
No, I'm doing about a day and a half a week. All I do is Invisalign. Some days I don't even have to put on gloves. I can do a whole Invisalign consult, treatment, monitoring, retainers. I can do it without gloves. Our assistants do the attachments, take the x-rays, do the scanning. My partner does the IPR. I'm just the mind. And the talker, great, best day ever. Besides, it's all women practice, and they only have like extra small gloves. So some days I don't even put on gloves.
That's awesome. I'm actually about to cut down to 1 day a week clinically, and I'm only going to be focusing on Invisalign. So we're bringing in another full time doc at my flagship office. I think I'm still going to have to do my own IPR, but I think I could live with that. So
yeah, teach a young gun how to do some IPR, and that's it, baby. It's a gravy train.
Yeah. With that Gauss system that you have. So we use that too. And I think that's been a game changer. Cause I remember the days where I used to have to just take those quick strips and you spend forever trying to scrape between the teeth. And now you just take a couple discs up and down and it definitely simplified. I think that's the key to really having a successful Invisalign practice within your practice. Like if you're starting to do a lot of volume, like we are, you have to have your systems down. Things have to be efficient. Our assistants, just like you, they're everything is delegated that they're legally allowed to do. So they are trained well to basically, like an ortho, you know, be the assistants. They're checking it for attachments. They're adding the attachments. You know, by the time you walk in the room at most appointments, it's just like, doc, everything looks great. You say hi to the patient. You know, good to see you. We'll see you again in 6 weeks. So if we didn't have our assistants trained that way, and I was adding all the attachments, and I was doing all that myself, we would never be able to keep up with the volume that we're seeing. So you've got to get your systems down, guys, if you're going to do that much Invisalign.
And it's funny because docs that I deal with, Dr. Geller, they complain so much about the lab fee, right? Everyone's like, oh, the lab fee's so high. My opinion is what's awesome is the savings of your time. That outweighs that lab fee. It's 90% assistant driven. Yeah. It's like you have this great profit center of the practice that's enjoyable, doesn't break your back, doesn't hurt your neck. The patient does 90% of it. And you're concerned about the lab fee, it like frees up like your time so much to do stuff.
If you want to lower the lab fee, just do more Invisalign.
I mean, seriously, do volume.
It's that simple. But
people are always surprised that Invisalign is a profit-driven company. They're like, yeah, of course they'll charge as much as they can. And they can get away with it because they're the industry leader. Yeah. But they're always like, what? How come they're charging $1,800? I was like, because they can. because they spent $50 million on R&D last year, and they keep pushing the limits, and everything they do keeps working. So, but they like me so much. My rep was so nice. We went out to dinner. I was like, yeah, but it's a profit-driven company. It's literally a public company. It's one of the most heavily traded companies on the NASDAQ. It's a Tech 50. Yeah, they're super profit-driven. People think that they're like your friend or something. They happen to make the best product in the market. When you do that, you know, good luck. And Google is also. You think Google's Google charged so much for ads, Matt. How come they charge so much for an Invisalign keyword? Yeah, because they can. Because nobody's buying Mr. Bing keywords. And nobody's searching on Yahoo unless they have a virus. So Google can charge whatever they want for Invisalign in your zip code.
Well, it's funny, too, that the docs that, like, don't want to be salespeople, that scarcity mindset, are the same exact docs that are like, they should take better care of dentists and charge a lower lab fee. And it's like, listen, why don't you just go make more money? You're a dentist, and then the lab fee is not a problem. Like, just build the lab fee into everything. But the same dentist, it's the same psychology on both sides. It's kind of crazy. So we're coming down to the last few minutes we have here together, guys. So David, you know, you've made a mark in the overall industry. Every time we onboard a new doc in our company and they do clear aligners, the first thing we ask is, are you a member of the AACA? We kind of generally know if they are and are not. We know how serious they really are about it. It's kind of a question we use to gauge their seriousness. So you've made a mark on the market overall, pretty big one, especially in that modality of treatment. How do you want to be remembered now going forward? You got to be coming close to the time period where you want to relax and do a little bit less now coming up soon. How do you want to be remembered in the marketplace after this, when you decide to back away and just kind of take a back seat to all?
Interesting question. I mean, my clear aligner stuff will always be there. It won't make it into orthodontic textbooks like it should, because the orthodontists control that and they have a different view of stuff. But, you know, some of my techniques, some of my Invisalign stuff, my Invisalign theories and philosophies will hold on. But I really am most proud, Matt, of getting dentists to work together and peers working with peers and peers helping peers, because dentistry has always been a trash your fellow dentist world. You see this guy's work sucks. You hear about that guy? Oh, it's terrible. Or his crown fell out. I got a patient from that guy. I took a full, you can't believe it. How did this guy grab? Like, dentists love ripping down another dentist. It's always been the mantra. Take down thy fellow dentist. Build yourself up at expense of a fellow dentist. To patients, to colleagues, to, hey, I got to set my, so-and-so did a filling. It's very sensitive. Yeah, well, that guy, you know, come to me. And at the end of the day, all dentists inside are a little bit the same. You know, it's a scary world. It's alone. It's a high stress, high anxiety practice. Everybody in your family thinks you date a blonde and you drive a Tesla, but man, you're grinding day in, day out, looking at microscopic things, and you're not a robot. So some things work and some things don't work, and patients have unrealistic expectations, and Delta Dental thinks you're worth 30 cents. You know, so it's a lot. It's a lot for a person to deal with. And I feel like dentistry in my early years was very solitary. I found all these dentists really sad and depressed, and they put on these outward facades as huge, successful, sexy, amazing, everything's incredible. But as I started to develop real friends in dentistry, and all my friends are dentists, like every single one. I have like one friend who's a GI and one friend's an accountant, but the rest of every single one of my other friends is a dentist. And you just kind of break down some barriers. You see a lot of people who really are very, very loving and suffering quite a bit, and you build a world around them. You'd be like, hey, I'll support you. I'll help you. Call me on your worst day, not your best day. Call me on your worst day. Tell me everything that happened today, and I'll know exactly what you're talking about. And I won't have all the answers, but you know you can count on me. And I think when you started with Gallerite World, what is the Gallerite World? Yeah, I teach people how to do clear aligners, but there are a lot of people who teach a lot of dentists how to do a lot of things. There's a lot of people who teach you how to have injection mold. You can learn how to make dentures. You can learn how to do all on four. But what makes the Gallerite special is that we will support you on your worst day. When the compressor breaks and your hygienist just quit and three patients owe you money who don't want to pay, you got a family here. And Andrew knows, and all the Gallerites out there know that we are a different type of organization. Yes, we're about clear aligners, but what I want to be remembered for is the leader who really cared about the dentists themselves on your worst day, on the day you just wonder why you're doing any of this.
I think there's a trade with a successful leader is like you. My standard of leadership is high from my past experiences in the military and the community I was in. And one thing that struck me about you when I was at the event is I think you're somebody who understands two things really fundamentally, and you're also really good at the second one. I think one, you understand that the human currency is more important than any physical or real world currency in the world. I think you know that really well. I think two is you understand that the human terrain is the terrain you have to navigate the most. I think you are like a ninja at navigating people. Like I watched you work the room. I watched you do what you did. And it's really hard to win me over fast. I'm kind of a pretty tough guy to crack. And like 3 minutes next to you, I was like, so how much longer can I talk to you? Because I don't want to, like, you know, how much more time can I have with you? And that's really a big deal to come from me, because I don't really get that way. And you are definitely a pro at navigating the human terrain and investing in people on the human equity level and using human currency and making someone better. You're definitely a pro at it, without a doubt. You're probably the best I've seen in dentistry so far. So we have to kind of wrap up here. Andrew, what do you have to say before we
I was going to say, and just real quick, last thing I think is important for audience to hear, but Doc, how do you lower barriers for patients to get Invisalign? Obviously, it's an expensive treatment. Somebody comes in, they think they're getting their teeth clean. They think their insurance is covering the whole thing. All of a sudden, we're talking about, you know, four or five, whatever thousand you charge for Invisalign. How do you help lower the barriers to make it easier for them to say yes to that treatment?
So there's two things that people have to understand is that one is called value. That means people will spend any amount of money on something if they value it. And the best way I could explain that is you talk to anybody. I talk to my gardener, talk to my cleaning lady, talk to a dishwasher. And I'd be like, hey, dude, I see you have the iPhone 13 here, okay? Let's say, you know, your iPhone falls into the dishwasher and, you know, it's kaput, you know, shoot, it's kaput. Are you going to buy another iPhone 13, 15? How long are you waiting? Is it like next month after you get your check back? Or are you going to save up till Christmas, maybe somebody? Or are you stopping at the T-Mobile Verizon store on the way home? And if you ask people, they will say, I will go max one day without my cell phone. Max. Do I have $1,500? No, I do not. Did I save it up? No. Did I plan this? No, but I value it. This phone, I value. And I will get anything that I value. And doesn't matter, I have to break it up over 60 months. And every Verizon bill has an extra $10 on it for this iPhone 13. Yeah, it sucks that my phone doesn't work, but I am not. Nothing will get in my way of getting that phone. So if you start with that mindset, patient, I need you to get this treatment. Yeah, the money's the money, I get it, but I need you to get this treatment done. I think this will make you healthier, better perio, better occlusion, you know, better biting. You're not gonna crack your teeth. You're gonna look a little bit better. Your breath's not gonna smell. Like if you build the value to it, patients come in. Then, you know, after that, it's just down payment. Now it's just a game. Now it's just a game of what number you have. If I said down payment was $10, nobody would ever say no. If I said down payment's $4,800 or 95%, everybody says no. So now it's just a game based on your practice, based on your area. What's that down payment that you, when I build value for you, you go, yeah, that's a good point. I got $300 in my pocket right now. Yeah, $300 on my Amex, no big deal. Then whatever, we'll figure out the rest, you know, 60 month, 40 month, Sunbit, you know, whatever payment plan you're going to go. But if I don't build value on it, yeah, then it's like waiting. Then I'm trying to sell you a purse or something. But there are things in this world that people value. And if a person values it, doesn't matter what's going to get in the way. The best way to understand that is people on their cell phones, man. People will do anything
I love it.
To replace their cell
phone. That was the best analogy ever. I'm stealing that.
And there was a reason I asked this, guys. When I went to Dr. Galler's Reengage course, at that point in time, our deposit for Invisalign was $1,500. It was a pretty big barrier, but I was worried because there's a big lab bill. I wasn't Diamond back then, so my lab bill was, you know, almost $2,000. I wanted to make sure that I was getting this money in before I owed a line, you know, this money for the case. And that was really a big barrier for patients saying yes, especially those patients that were just there in hygiene. And all of a sudden they're like, you know what? This sounds cool. I'd like to do this. You know, how much do I have to pay today? Oh, $1,500. Oh, I can't do that. I can't pay $1,500. So Dr. Gallagher's course recommended lower the deposit and you're going to see more treatment. So we lowered it, and I've actually lowered it twice since then. Our deposit is $395. That's all that.
$200, you know, baby.
A car payment. Less than a car payment. $200. You know what?
$200.
Maybe I need to lower it again.
Here's the key.
But that was huge.
Andrew, I tell everybody, don't lower your price. Charge whatever you want. $4,000, $5,000, $10,000. The down payment is the psychological barrier. Nobody cares. Yep. Anything between $4,200 and $5,600 does not make a difference in your actual cost. Yep. Down payment, that's everything.
So I have an argument with docs all the time. They'll have a patient get in $5,000 on Crown and Bridge or something, right? And they'll say, well, I brought it down to $4,000 to get them to do it. I'm like, no. Offer financing at $200 a month through a third-party financer where you paid up front. Don't mess with your fee. Offer accessibility. That is the number one thing. And dentists, what you said earlier was, it becomes salesy feeling then, and car salesman like, and that's just no good. And they can't embrace that. Or like, they don't want the patient getting charged interest on their health. You charge interest on everything today. It's the American way. Just embrace it.
We do a fair amount of in-house payment plans for Invisalign. I ran a report the other day of $208,000 that we currently have patients on in-house payment plans for Invisalign. $202,000 are current on those payments. So do you think it's worth that $6,000 that, you know, maybe is a little overdue that we have to try to track down for that $208,000 of those patients that maybe wouldn't have done it otherwise because, you know, they either couldn't get approved or didn't want to do traditional financing? I think so. But
yeah, 100%. So me and you will stay on, David. So it was an awesome episode. There's a lot of insight. If somebody was, so I'm a doc, I'm listening to this right now. I'm doing a startup or something. I want to drive clear aligner business. Where do I go to learn about the AACA and get to it as a resource?
Yes, real simple, www.aacaaligners.com, American Academy of Clear Aligners. Join the Academy. Reengage Part 1 is everyone's first step. I just need to teach you the nuts and bolts of it. You can't pick it up from a webinar. You can't pick it up from 3 series of videos that you watch when you're on the shitter. You need to come to a live course and just learn the nuts and bolts once, then you get your iTero, then you start scanning everybody, you join the community, and we will build you up.
Yeah, awesome. So we're going to sign off here. Do you have anything closing, Dr. Gallagher, you'd like to say before we close it off?
No, but listen, you know, Andrew's just one of those success stories. It's crazy. And, you know, there are so many people I've taught my philosophies to and who practice dentistry the way I do. And, you know, we've seen great stuff from them.
So, hey, thank you for joining us today, Dr. Geller. It's been an awesome time together. And I'll make sure I direct everyone to the AACA website. I'll put the link in the episode description after this gets launched. It'll be launched in about a month. So it'll be really interesting to see the response to this. Hey, guys, remember, click like and subscribe. And please leave a positive review for the podcast. This podcast has no sponsors. No one in dental's paying for it. None of the messages on us are paid. Me and Andrew hand select the subjects and the people to provide pure value to the marketplace and to benefit you guys. It's a completely selfless mission. I mean, Andrew's part, we just enjoy it. It gives us a chance to meet awesome people like David Galler. Thank you so much, David, for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Matt. Good luck to you, brother.